Welcome, guys. Happy Friday to you. This is the FDN Fantastic Friday Call. FDN's Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. And you've tuned in for another call. We do this call pretty much each week at 1 o'clock Central Time. And glad to be with you. I'm your host, Brandon Molay. And I've got my other host, Brendan Vermeyer. I'm not sure if it's co-host or I don't know what the term is exactly. I feel like it, if I say host and co-host, it kind of lowers the level. So we're equal playing field here. Both happy to answer your questions and talk to you and support you however we can on the call. So it's a live call. So if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, add to the conversation, we would love that. The number is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378 is that number. Hit 1 on your keypad, and I'll see that you're there, and we'll bring you on. I'll call out your area code, and you can come on and ask a question. Past several months here, we have had all live callers, which is tremendous. Love the dynamic of a live caller, but we've got some questions I pulled from Facebook, but people have written in. Whatever we can do to help you wherever you are in the journey, right? So if you're thinking about taking the FDN course, you're trying to get a feel or what this organization is about, how we think, what we do, the mission. Hopefully this call will give you a taste of that. If you just signed up for the course and you're new and you want some support, have a question that you want to ask about where you're just anything about moving through the course and becoming certified. Or if you're out there and you're doing the work like Brendan and I are, working with people on a regular basis and you want some help with the case or some case management or something with marketing or getting yourself out there or sales or whatever aspect of what we do, we're happy to give you our 2 cents and share our experience with you. One of the favorite things to get to do. We don't talk so much from book knowledge anymore. It's from practical knowledge and being out there doing it. So happy to help however it is. This is the FDN support call. I think it actually is titled there on Blog Talk Radio, and that's just what it is. So it's been a 10-year tradition with FDN, so we've had calls since pretty much the very beginning. But again, happy to join with you guys today. The date is January 24th. 2020. So hopefully 2020 again is off to a great start for you guys, whatever you're doing in life. It's been good for us on a whole lot of levels. It's an exciting time to be doing this work. I think I say this pretty often, but if you want to be an FDN practitioner or a health coach or whatever term you really want to use, I'm proud of the FDNP certified aspect of things. So I'm always making sure people know what I am because that helps everybody out. But if you want to be in this field right now, is a great and amazing time to do that. Technology, accessibility, people's knowledge of it. You're going to see it once you get out there in the public and talk about what you're doing, what you have to offer. It's amazing how much connection you have with people. The way we work and what we do resonates with most people. So if this is a time you're thinking, oh, I should have started this 10 years ago or 5 years ago, it's okay. You start now where you are, and you start to build, and you grow, and just enjoy the journey, and just know that if you're doing this, it's probably where you need to be. This isn't something I think that somebody just says, fall off the back of the turnip truck and decide they're gonna take a course and do this. It's usually something really major behind it, a passion, a desire, your own story, maybe to help your family and friends. There's something big behind it, so something not to take lightly. If you're taking the course, looking, taking the course, or in this, it's probably a big reason why you're doing that. Okay, well, I do have a graduate to announce, but before I do that, I thought I'd check in with my buddy Brendan here and see how things are going in his world.
Yeah, thanks, man. Happy to be here. Love these Friday calls. They're just always a lot of fun, and certainly we have to offer good case support or course support and kind of business support, literally everything in between. So, we're off to a good start for the year, and I think 2020 really is going to be the best year yet for FDN. We have a lot of great momentum as a community, as a tribe. The FDN conference was such an amazing success just a few months ago, and so that's where, if you guys haven't seen it yet, we do have the early bird ticket discount pricing going on. So that went out via email. As you guys know, I'm not really like the logistics guy, but I know that there was an email with all the details on there. Be sure to see that. That is for those that attended the 2019 ROC conference, and this is a special promotion. It will be the lowest price tickets will ever be. So this is the absolute lowest price that you could possibly get for the 2020 Functional Health Coaching Conference. It'll be at Hard Rock, October 23rd through 25th, if I'm remembering correctly. But make sure to check out that email, because that's going to be super amazing. Don't want to miss it.
Indeed. It's on my calendar, too. I was excited about it. I was talking with my wife and daughter about it, and they haven't been able to make one yet. So we said, this is our year. Everybody goes this year. We're going to have a good time. So we're excited about it. It was amazing last year. This is our third year to do it, right? So first year was kind of the 10th anniversary, and the first year to do that, and it was great. And then, of course, this year, back in November, was last year in November was, I think we stepped it up, kicked it up a notch. It was, I think, just a great time. I don't know. It's something that I think if you're serious about doing this work, I think it's something you need to attend. I think there's something you pick up on and build and grow from that's really – even though, yes, we do as much as we can with these calls and videos on Facebook and phone calls and kind of connect, there's just something unique about being around other practitioners. It's cool. Maybe if you have somebody in your area, you know, it's close by where you can grab lunch with or kick around ideas with and collaborate with. But to be in a place like that, totally immersed, is what I would say, in FDN with 300 FDN practitioners, with some of the best speakers in the world in our vein, what we're doing with Reed, with Jen, with us, with mentors, with everybody. It's the biggest concentration of FDN ology and power or energy that you're going to ever get in one setting. And so that does something to you. It does move things forward. So I think, you know, big decisions are made and energy is imparted, I think, into your business and what you're doing, and pretty much you're going to find what you need when you get there. It may not be everything that's spoken about, but there'll be enough that, okay, it's that next level that you need to get to. And once you get to that next level, you know, you're there, right? So we don't shrink back. We don't contract. We want to keep moving forward. So that's just the process you do. It's just a growth process. That's just life. You're just growing every time. That's one of those big things that can help catapult you there. And I'm not saying that as an advertisement, try to get a bunch of people to come to it. That is purely honestly what I've experienced, what I believe that happens at events like that. So it's something unique and different. And, hey, it's beautiful Southern California again, so it would be nice to go there in late October. It'll be great. So we'll talk more about it as plans solidify for who's going to be there, exactly what the layout's going to be. We'll let you know about those things. But big time, yes, tickets, the lowest price they're going to be ever. So if you're at all thinking about it, I would jump on it. And then, Brendan, I saw Kendra's coming on again for a series.
Yes. Kendra is coming on this coming Wednesday for our webinar of the week. I want to say the time is actually a little bit earlier, so be sure to check the emails, as always. But I think the time is a little bit earlier than normal. And it is going to be an interview format instead of a presentation format. So I'm really excited. Love Kendra. Obviously, you know, she handed off the AFDNP director role to me a couple years ago, and she's obviously a very strong member of our AFDNP tribe and FDN community. And I know her HGMA wisdom and expertise in course has been such a big hit with our tribe. So she'll be coming back to talk about her HGMA master course in an interview format. So don't miss that this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely watch it live or get the replay on that one 100%. HGMA has been a game changer for me. I talk about a lot with folks during the medical director consults. And not just because it's, you know, another thing that you can test and look for. I think it has a big part to play in what we do. So if you've heard us talk about that before, you're interested in that, Kendra will probably be able to cover the basics and give you a good feel for why you want to consider doing that, running those labs, getting out there and exploring that side of things as a I think it's a really nice fit with the basics of FDN, and really it has been always been a little part of FDN because it was really tied with metabolic typing. So all sort of in that original genesis of what we do, but that'll be good. So anything Kendra's got to say on HTMA or even on the business side of things, it's golden. So tune in. Okay. Well, I don't know. Anything else, Brendan, you got to announce? Otherwise, we'll move on to some questions.
Let's see. Well, certainly give myself a shameless plug. I hope you guys are loving the organic acid course so far. I've gotten a lot of good feedback, so certainly be sure to check that out. I can't not mention it. I worked pretty hard on that thing in 2019, I can't not mention it. So there you go.
Indeed, that's just fine. There's just resources out there, guys. That's the whole point of everything that we do post-graduation, right? And this call is also, it's just tools you can use, nothing that you have to do. I mean, once you complete your certification, you're certified, other than recertifying with us every couple of years, which is a very painless, minimal process to do that. There's nothing else you have to do. Anything we have as far as listening to a Friday call, tuning into a webinar, being a part of AFDMP, taking advanced courses, any of that, those are not required. You can still be a certified practitioner in good standing doing this work without those things. So, but they're there for your benefit and for your use. And if you get into those, I'm sure it's going to be a benefit to you. So it's about us being, everybody being successful and people getting better through the process. And that's the big mission, right? So take advantage of it. If you don't know what some of those things are, reach out to us. We'll let you know and point you in the right direction of a resource that can take you to that next level. Maybe it's an investment that you need to make into your business. Maybe some of those things are direct steps that you need to go to. They might sound like a little scary sometimes. I think that's all the process there. But once you get into the groove there, you'll see where it's going to benefit you and help you be more successful. Okay. All right. Well, got some hands raised already. That's great, guys. I want to answer questions here in just a minute. I do want to congratulate our graduate of the week, actually. So we have one graduate this week. Enjoyed talking with, I'll say young man, so he's younger than me, so I'll say young man. Originally from Seattle area, but transplanted to San Diego about 2 months ago now. So I guess he just wanted to get closer to kind of FTN headquarters and where a lot of FTNs are concentrated. So we want to say congratulations to Kurt Stradman, again from Seattle down to San Diego, our graduate of the week here. He's going to do some awesome stuff with this, guys. I'm excited about his focus and story. So, Kurt, congratulations to you, man. Great job. Good stuff. All right. And I've got several verbal finals booked the next couple of weeks here. So you guys book in for those. My schedule got a little more space in there, so you should be able to knock that out if you're ready to do it. Once you get that verbal final back and you have passed that, Lauren will let you know that, and you'll have the files you need to take that verbal final with me, the one of the last steps there, graduation and certification. And it's a good time. So you're ready for it. If you've no need to wait a month, right, to book in for that. You can book in for within a week, right? You know your stuff at that point. We're just making sure you've got it good to go. All right, we'll jump into some questions here, and we'll hit the hands raised first. So I'll bring on 978 area code. 978, what's your name there?
Hi, it's Donna from Chelmsford.
Well, hello, Donna.
Hi, recent graduate, and I have a couple of questions regarding the 401 EXP, the new lab from BioHealth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I did
we'll try our best.
Myself. Okay, it's new and it's different from what I learned in the module. I'll be scheduling an MDP consult, but I figured I'd just ask now. It shows positive for H. pylori, and instead of just saying H. pylori detected, it has this green line, which I assume is okay. And once you go into the red area of this horizontal line. It has the D for detected smack in the middle of it. Are you familiar with this? Does this mean I've surpassed a threshold for H. pylori, even though I don't think I have any symptoms that correlate with having it?
Gotcha. Yeah. So I'm looking at a sample report that I had here of this. This is a pretty new lab, right? So I've not had a million of them under my belt, but it's sort of a combination of the regular 401H and a GI map. So you've got some a little bit of both in there with some cool intestinal health markers and great things like that. So I'm looking to see what I have on that right now. Again, not the first one there. I'm going to say, does that include virulence factors there also with that particular marker they're doing now?
So that was question two. I'm having a problem understanding virulence factors. There are enzymes at the top, and it shows that I'm in the red for lysozyme, but I don't know if that's has anything to do with the virulence factors.
Gotcha. Let me see here. So, yeah, I'm looking to see how they got that. Okay, yeah, so with this report I've got here, looking at this one here, so if you've got the green and then going to the red line there on the H. pylori antigen, so it's still looking at the antigen test. So it's either going to be, it looks like it's going to be either red detected or green not detected. So you said it was, what was it showing up for you then in the red section or?
Detected in the red.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. So that's going to be your antigens. That would be a positive for your body mounting an immune response to the H. pylori, presence of the H. pylori bacteria. So I'd say that's positive there. And then what was the second question on that?
Does this lab show you virulence factors?
Well, I don't believe it does. Looking at the report I have, unless they've added something to it since they put the sample report out here, it doesn't show virulence factors.
Does the GI map offer that?
It does on theirs. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not that maybe changes the approach so much. Maybe if I saw the virulence factors with a positive H. pylori on the GI map, I might be, I don't know, me personally as a practitioner, I'm aggressive against H. pylori, period. Like, my approach doesn't change. I used to have like a two-fold approach. I had to say, well, if it's, you know, a little bit H. pylori showing up, maybe no virulence factors, not a lot of symptoms, let's just go with a lesser protocol, maybe just pylori X and some DGL and not really focus on it in some more complete way. Now I don't. I always go with Matula T, and I go after H. pylori pretty aggressively, regardless of people's symptoms, because typical H. pylori symptoms would be digestive, right? The heartburn, the bloating, stomach pain, nausea, maybe things like that you think about. But if you look at H. pylori very often, and look at some of the studies and things that are out there, there's many, many other symptoms that are connected with H. pylori. You know, first and foremost, the fact that H. pylori is hijacking digestion. So anytime you hijack digestion, protein breakdown, you have a cascade, right, that comes from that. So a person could have, you know, neurotransmitter imbalances going on, so focus issues, anxiety, depression. Headaches are very common. Skin issues are common. Insomnia is very common. So if there's anything like that that's going on, I think it's good to go after it. So that's a practical way I look at that, but maybe I'm not answering your question.
No, you are. That's helpful. I just didn't know if the circle on this, where it has a D with an oval,
right,
horizontal oval circle, and
mm-hmm.
it's smack dab in the middle of the red. Is there a meaning if the D is further along on the red or lower on the red?
Gotcha.
It's just detected.
I don't think so. I think it's either yes or no. The antigens are present or not. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not speaking from experience with this lab so far, because I haven't got to see many of them. So I'm going to say that's just yes or no on antigen, because looking back at the regular 401H, it's not it's either detected or not detected. It's either yes or no.
Right. Okay.
Right.
If it's not detected, could you still have it, but it's just not enough to be detected, like not enough antibodies creating a response? Like,
I think it's possible. I think it's possible because if you look at like a GI map, the way what it's looking for, it's measuring in a different way. So you do get a more of a scale and a rating, and then also a virulence factor. And I've had people that were clear on the first test and then went through a full pathogen protocol, and I would really be surprised that they picked up the infection during that time. They come back and it shows up there, and you address it, and it makes a big difference for them. So it's not super common, but it has happened before. I've seen that.
Okay. All right. Well, I am going to schedule a consult and pursue this a little further. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, do that. Book in, and we'll talk through it some more and look at the thing in its entirety. And then that's the key, you know, the bird's eye view along with the real specific individual view in the case, and then the recommendations where to go will kind of bubble to the surface.
Okay. All right. Nice
awesome.
Talking to you.
Okay. You too. Thanks for calling, Donna. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Good question there. I have to can't speak with authority on this one because I haven't seen many of them yet. So this is a brand new test here for BioHealth, the 401 EXP test there. So expanding on the typical traditional 401H test so a few different ways they're testing. Things they're looking for a little bit differently, some gastrointestinal health markers, which are helpful. So if you want to know more about that, go to the Medical Director Program page. And we should have a link there about that. You can check out that as another option. Good stuff. So BioHealth always innovating as well, and they have been for years. So awesome partner with us, and really helped us launch FDN. That was back when there weren't many companies like that. BioHealth was one of the pioneers in a lot of this work, and really helpful with building FDN. That's what we built FDN on. Reed did with BioHealth Labs, and a whole lot of people to get better. So, cool stuff. All right. No, Brandon, anything to add to that that I left out?
No, I thought that was a really good answer. I haven't tried the new BioHealth test yet, but there's a lot of kind of chatter going on in the groups about it right now. But I stand by everything you said in regards to, anytime I'm looking at, like, you know, stool testing, I always kind of like to teach, you know, my trainees or, you know, the tribe how I kind of think about like fishing. If you're at the end of a pier and you cast your line into the ocean and, you know, sometimes you reel in a goldfish, other times a stingray, other times a shark, other times nothing. And so kind of the point being, how do we thoroughly or accurately assess the health of the ocean based on what we reel in? And so it's kind of like that with stool sampling sometimes, where there's all these different types of stool testing technology, the trichrome stain, the microscopy, the DNA PCR. And so this is why that clinical correlation is so key. And also, you know, correlating with things like, I love to do blood chemistry with any kind of, you know, bug testing, if you will, because we want to see, like, are the white blood cells doing anything weird? Do we see a pattern with the white blood cell breakdown that would correlate? Or then a test that's in our medical director program that I don't ever see anybody talking about or using that I found to be pretty helpful is the Cyrex Array 12. It's a multiple pathogen antibody test, so it's IgG for a lot of different bugs, including Borrelia or H. pylori or Clostridia. And so kind of my point being, this is why we have to be using our critical thinking, like you were saying, Brandon, where, you know, is there that correlation? And some of these bugs are, you know, more problematic, you know, the H. pylori, the crypto. I agree where I tend to be a little bit more aggressive with things like H. pylori, especially if there are those virulence factors, whether that's on the new BioHealth or, you know, the GI map. And, of course, too, are there those classic symptoms of whether it's bloating or GERD or whatnot? So we just have to think critically, because it's kind of a fine line in between. We don't want to create a problem where there isn't one, and then we're, you know, chasing after something that might not really be an issue. But on the flip side of that, we sure as heck don't want to overlook a healing opportunity, you know, where there is one. So it's using our tests and testing, you know, correlating, and also not messing around, because that's where I love the way that we approach things, because it's not like, oh gosh, you know, H. pylori was detected on the GI map, therefore let's go do antibiotics right away. It's no, let's coach up function through DRESS, but also use some intelligent supplementation like the mastic gum or the biocidin, the DGL, or I've been playing around with the microbiome's new MegaGuard formula. And that way we're using these natural, you know, herbal botanical products that it gets away from this idea of just, obviously there's debate on, is H. pylori like purely bad? And I think we have to be careful about categorizing a microbe as good or bad. It's just a bug doing its thing. And we're covered in bugs inside and out all the time. It's a matter of, is that bug kind of getting a little, you know, feisty? And so we can use our DRESS principles to coach down those bad bugs per se. We can use these natural products to, you know, balance, you know, H. pylori and other bacterial levels. So it's just a paradigm shift away from quote unquote infection and more into microbial balance and harmony. So anyways, just to kind of, yeah. But I totally agree. H. pylori does. And, you know, every time I see it coming back, you know, in high levels or with virulence factors, yeah, generally it is kind of a problematic bugger that we want to do something about.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you laid down some of those principles. That's really where you want to think and get to that point where you can answer and think that way when it comes to a case or a situation. So, which takes some time, right? So there's going to be a lot of, oh, I see this and this and this coming up. What should I do? And we're going to talk to you about those things. But then the next level is thinking about the bigger picture, the principles, laying those down. And that's just the process you go through as a practitioner. There's just growth that comes. But regardless, you're going to help a lot of people no matter where you are in the process. If you're a new graduate or you've been doing this for 10 years, you're still going to get very good results because we work in a really non-specific way. So that's kind of what you're alluding to there, Brenda, with H. pylori. So even no matter what natural product you use to, you know, address an H. pylori infection, just air quotes there for address, those herbs have the far-reaching effects on the body in other ways. So it's not just going to go right there and find its way like a missile to H. pylori and knock that out. It's going to affect the entire microbiome and also all, you know, tissues and cells in the body. So there's a far-reaching effect, which is a good thing because we want to have far-reaching effects. It's more of this general support to the entire system, give the body the tools it needs, remove the blocking factors, a la Bill Wolcott, set up the body with the right conditions to repair itself, to restore itself. That's what we want to do. So that's what we're trying to do, is put the body in an advantageous position where it can do that by, again, removing the blocking factors, the obvious things we see in testing and with intake forms. And then any tools that seem to be missing, we want to supply those as well, the form of our DRESS protocols, the supplementation, and just let the body see what it can do. So it's kind of like you're raising your child, right? So teach them right from wrong and give them some skills and some abilities, and then love them and give them security and see what happens, see where it goes. They're their own being, their own person, and they have their own mind, and they've got giftings and talents, and those things that are there. So you just sort of set them up for the right conditions and watch them grow and do awesome stuff. The body's a similar way, so just set it up for success and see where it goes. Now, exactly, just like a child, when that's going to happen, exactly what path they're going to take, and good, bad, or disappointments or stress or whatever, there's a dynamic relationship with the body there as well. So sometimes it happens real quickly, and it's super easy and very direct. Other times, it's not so much that way. There's bumps, and there's things yet that come up that you didn't expect, and that's where you've got to put those skills in there as a practitioner for case management and ask some questions and make some adjustments and course correction and develop a really good working relationship with the people that you're helping. And you hope to come together as a partnership and figure some things out. But generally, that graph is going upward. There might be some ups and downs, kind of like maybe the stock market graph. You know, it's going up right now, but it's kind of some ups and downs as you get there. That's typically, you know, the process that you're going to have with most people you work with using FDM.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, laying it down. All right, let's see here. I can go to some questions on the list here, unless we have another hand raised. See a lot of you guys on the call today. Guys, thanks for listening, tuning in. If you want to ask a question there, please hit 1 on your keypad and we'll bring you on. Number to call in if you want to call in, if you're listening on Blog Talk right now live, it's 347-637-1378 is that number if you want to jump in there. Happy to hear from you. So let's see here. We'll go back to some questions that we do get from time to time here. We've answered them before on here, but it's always good to revisit some of the basics. So here's one asking about, I was wondering why we don't test menstruating women at any time in their cycle, since the lab provides ranges at each stage. It's simply a matter of FDN having plotted optimal ranges for the luteal phase only. Just wondering why we're limited that way. Thank you in advance for anyone's help and insight on this. So I think a good, honest question there. So, technically you could test at any time. So I guess if you're doing a saliva test, you could test at any time. If you're doing Dutch with urine involved and blood and urine, probably wouldn't be a good combination there. So I don't know that you could actually do a test there when a woman is menstruating, during the period. But so you could test any time, and there are ranges for those. But I would say the big thing here is that you're looking for, ideally, in that luteal phase there, because that's when you're going to hopefully get the peak production of progesterone and estrogen. So you're getting a feel for, okay, how much is the body producing? Like at its supposed during that time, if everything's good, that maximum level there. So around that 18 to 21 day time there, a few days after ovulation, those are at their highest. So that's it. So that, and that's, yeah, optimum ranges. We do have sort of optimum ranges around all of these, so you have a feel for that. But typically, that's the time that you want to do that. I like the idea of that. I like to know that, hey, this is the maximum you can produce, because with most people, you're going to see I'd say most of the time, a lot of the time, I should say, low hormone levels. That's probably what you're going to see, I would say, more times than not. Maybe, I don't know, Brendan can maybe give us a percentage, but I'd say probably 3/4 of the people that I work with when doing hormone tests, generally levels are going to be on the lower side. So if that's what we're going to see, I really want to see if they're going to be low, what's the maximum they can do at their very, very best. Now, if it's high, that's a little bit different, but I'd say low is pretty common. So seeing the maximum is nice at that point, but you can test at any time. It's just probably more experience doing that way. That's what I think is behind that. Maybe Brendan has more insight, but that's my initial thought there.
Yeah. You know, certainly I really love, you know, using HPA and hormone testing with pretty much every client. And, you know, we do see a lot, like I would say the majority are going to be pretty tanked out, you know, and that's, wow, it's been a minute since I've talked about some of this stuff, but that's kind of FDN 101, right? You know, that 205 and acute compensatory exhaustive phase of HPA axis dysfunction, and, you know, understanding allostasis and allostatic load and just HPA, and it's kind of very broad-reaching function. So I do find, you know, the 205 Dutch test, whatever hormone testing you're going to do. The way I've always kind of taught it to trainees is to almost kind of think about the hormones and HPA testing kind of like the check engine light on your dashboard. So when that comes on, the problem isn't that the light is on. The problem is what that light represents, right, which is there's something going wrong under the hood. So, you know, then we got to go lift up the hood, dig around. I don't know anything about auto mechanics, but I know a lot about metabolic mechanics. So, you know, we have to
Oh, the metabolic mechanic.
We should make that a thing.
Trademark that.
I guess that's kind of where the biomechanic sort of comes from. But, we have to really identify what are those hidden stressors that are causing that endocrine disruption, that HPA disruption and dysfunction. So, I guess I personally don't look at hormone imbalances as a hidden stressor. It's sort of a side effect of hidden stressors, right? So whereas, bugs and toxins and stuff like that, those are very specific, tangible hidden stressors that then cause all this endocrine disruption. So, a lot of our clients are going to be very tanked out with their hormones. And obviously, there's so many good things that we can do to start modulating their hormones, which primarily, guys, is DRES. I mean, diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction. That's really the big thing. That's the biggest thing that's going to start improving the overall hormone profile, which, again, I would say, at least half, if not closer to 75% of the people that come to us and seek us out, they usually are really tanked out. They usually are that exhausted phase and low testosterone or maybe estrogen dominant with low testosterone and low cortisol. So we have to be really coaching them through the fundamentals of DRES. Yes, we can give a lot of great, adaptogens to, support the HPA axis or some of these different hormone modulators. But ultimately, it's more, to kind of break it down concisely, of like, you've got to hammer DRES. You can use that final S for certain hormone modulators to support their hormone signaling. But ultimately, too, we got to identify those key hidden stressors that are, really throwing the whole system out of loop. So if you kind of think through it systematically that way, you'll really, a lot of times the hormone imbalances kind of resolve on their own when you focus on that big picture and focus on those key hidden stressors.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's good enough just to say, okay, there's your hormone levels and here's some supplements, you'll be all fixed. Nobody's that good. I don't care who you are, top bioidentical hormone replacement therapy doctor in the world or in your region, whatever, nobody's that good to hit it on the mark every single time. Now, could you feel some symptom improvement with something from a pharmacy or a compounded or even some of the things that we like to use with an FTN? Yeah, you probably could. But even then, like Brendan's talking about, fundamentally, just by raising levels of hormone, have you built any health? You haven't. You've really band-aided the situation, and you've got a false sense of security. Yeah, it doesn't help to have hormone levels higher, so it tells your cells what to do more accurately and more and properly, and the person can feel better. Yes, it can be an influence there. That's okay to do, but it's the whole of everything. That's what's going to build lasting steroid hormone balance and really truly build health, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to coach up vital reserve, address metabolic chaos. Most of the time, it's not a single factor that makes a person unwell, nor is it ever going to be one single factor that makes them well. Now, there's some big things, yes, you can do. There's outliers there, but generally, that's the approach. So you're not that good. Reed's not that good. I'm not that good. Brenda's not that good. I don't care who you are. You're not going to be that good to fix everything with a couple, even give me 10 supplements without dress. You just won't. So give up on that. I don't think this person's asking that or alluding to that, but just you can try, but maybe you have to live and learn, but it's going to frustrate people. And you don't want to get, people that come to you, they may have been burned before. And they're unhappy, and they're skeptical, and that's very reasonable, right? Because there's a lot of people out there that aren't really building health. They even look like they sort of are, but they're not doing what we're talking about here, the fundamentals here. And we don't have the monopoly on this approach and idea of root cause, right? But we were very, very good at it, at figuring out how to do that. So think about where a person comes from. It's good. That's why it's good to ask those questions, right? The 8 questions, what have you tried before that hasn't worked? That's an important one. You need to know where that person is coming from. That's a whole other topic, but kind of ties in with this here. So it's a big thing. So I'm going to guess this question is probably coming from a trainee. It's studying in the course right now. I think actually that's where I pulled it from. So those are questions that you're going to ask, because when you're in training, you're in the nitty-gritty real details of things, and then you're going to see the bigger picture of that. So one thing to tack on to that, since I don't have any hands raised right now, one thing to tack on to that would be that you won't always have ideal conditions to run the hormone test, right? If a woman has a nice, good, regular clockwork cycle, okay, you can find that day 18, 19, no problem, and you feel good about that. But what if there are some parts missing? Or there's age here, or 25 years old and hadn't had a period in 3 years, or some irregularities going on. So there you're like, oh, well, what do? I don't have ideal conditions. Well, typically, what Reed always says, just take the test and then interpret accordingly. So that's where it can't just be a myopic view only of just these few hormones here. You have to have everything in context. And again, if you think, like Brendan's saying here, if you think that just running a 205 is going to show you everything, that's not the case. I did that in the beginning thinking I could just shortcut the system and make something happen, but it's not true because everything else is going to be affecting that. I have a case I'm working with right now. We're connecting a lot of dots from issues back in teenage years. Oh, yeah, well, I had this and this go on in teenage years, this and this, and then we're connecting it with issues in the 30s and now issues in the 40s, and what we're dealing with right now. So there's this big connection history where it was, yeah, maybe the endocrine system was like the centerpiece to have the spotlight on it symptom-wise, but, oh, we have six or eight other variables here that have an influence on that. So that's where we do our best work. We do that deep down work, look at every single possibility there that could cause and have an influence on that. And that's just the work we do. And you've got to be willing to do that work and to think that way. And if you complete this course and don't think that way, I'd be very, very surprised because it's all we talk about, right? So, but you got to think about that. It's the bigger picture there. So, again, that's where you are at the training. That's a good question, but you'll get that more complete picture of things as you move through the course. So, awesome. All right, so let's see here. We've got 17 minutes now left in the call. So if you want to call in and ask a question, again, 347-637-1378 is that number, or hit one on the keypad there. Happy to bring you on, and you can just say hi if you want to. Got a bunch of listeners today. That's great. Love it. All right. I'll grab another question then if we don't have any hands raised. Let's see here. I grabbed one earlier. Let me see if I can find those guys. Oh, here's one I was going to ask about. This one we've gotten several times before, but it's a good one to go back and consider. And Brendan, I'll throw it at you here because it deals with some biobotanical products. So a lot of the biobotanical research products contain oregano as an ingredient, and I have a food sensitivity to oregano. Is there an alternative product line, or is it one of those times where the benefits outweigh the risk?
So sensitivity to so certainly there's so many different botanicals and herbal compounds that are very potent, you know, oregano, olive leaf, so on and so forth. And so, you know, like biocidin, which, yeah, hands down is just my go-to broad-spectrum antimicrobial because, yeah, it's got so many. It's got berberine, and it's got oregano, it's got black walnut hull. And so certainly a lot of times people that have maybe like a true walnut allergy or something like that, maybe they just can't tolerate it. Generally, though, you know, with oregano sensitivity or whatever comes up on the MRT or food sensitivity test, I do kind of lean towards the side of I think the pros outweigh the cons, because here's kind of my logic with that is, let's say, you know, that person has some serious dysbiosis and GI, just, you know, microbial imbalances and whatnot, and okay, well, maybe they come back a little sensitive to or a lot sensitive, reactive to, you know, oregano or olive leaf or whatever it is. But there's kind of a few nuances to that because, first off, it's like, well, what are we really testing with that food sensitivity test? You know, is it mediator release? Is it antibody? testing, and then, of course, two, when we look at the big picture of, like, does this person live a perfect lifestyle? Probably not. Probably far from it. You know, do they have a ton of bad bugs that we're trying to clear out with some different natural botanicals or antimicrobials? Yeah, you know, using biocidin as an example, which is a proprietary formula of 17 different herbs and essential oils all mixed together, you know, is that unknown amount? I don't know the exact amount of each ingredient. It's a proprietary formula that's top secret. So, you know, is that tiny little amount with whatever degree of reactivity? I think you guys kind of see where I'm going with this, where it's just like, I like the due diligence there, but I have a really hard time going, nope, you know, you're just too gosh darn reactive to the oregano, and that tiny little amount that I don't even know how much is in there. It's kind of a weak argument when you look at the big picture, is kind of my point there. So I lean towards, you know, the pro outweighs the potential con. I think there's a lot bigger fish to fry. You know, I'm not going to get too caught up on like an oregano reactivity or a olive leaf reactivity or whatever it is. Like if it's a true allergy, that's one thing. You know, if it's a true allergy, that's a totally different conversation. But that's not even what we're measuring with our food sensitivity testing. We're not measuring IgE true allergies. You know, that's done with like rheumatologists and whatnot in a medical setting. So I think the pro outweighs the con in a lot of ways. And, you know, there's so many different botanicals that we can use. We can always, you know, pick something that, you know, might not be offensive, but it's just one of those, the person probably is being more inflamed by the bad bugs or the gluten that they haven't eliminated yet, or, you know, the mass copious amounts of, you know, they probably also came back really reactive to multiple grains and dairy and veggies and eating copious amounts of that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's worth getting too caught up on that minuscule amount of something that they're ingesting through a supplement that they're kind of reactive to. So anyways, I'm starting to just blabber, but I think you guys kind of get the logic there of that's great that we do the due diligence, but let's focus a little bit more on the big picture.
I agree. Good answer. That's what I would say about that. Do your due diligence, double check against your cross-reference your food sensitivity testing, and be smart about that. But when you don't have a better alternative, or it just seems like it's the right fit, I think you go for it. And, you know, you sequence and you titrate also. So if there is something obvious that you can tell, you're right. No situation is perfect, right? We've got a lot of factors. Once the more you know, the more you're amazed that we can actually be healthy and survive on this planet. As it is. And so a little bit of oregano in the grand scheme of things, everything that particular product biocidin is doing for that person, I think it outweighs it. So, yeah, very good. All right, hey, we got a hand raise. Let's grab it here. We got about 10 minutes left in the call. So 810 area code, 810. What's your name?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you.
Sure.
Who's this?
Yes, my name is Rainey. Hello, Brandon, and I'm very happy that, very grateful for all the wonderful work that you're doing. And I just have a quick question. I know we're running out of time. So a friend of mine contacted me last night, and she was telling me that her husband was taking some formula with the colloidal silver for quite some time. And I just wanted to find out, I know we should not focus specifically on allopathic care, but I wanted to know from your experience, as we are now into the cold and flu season, what if somebody asks you for something allopathic to help them with preventing, what would you say to them? I told her that it's not, she said that he was using it for quite some time, and I my opinion was that we should not be using it for that long, and we should, you know, support with a very good probiotic and, you know, the omega fatty acids and all the good stuff. But just what is your experience with all of this? And what would be your good protocol for, you know, giving advice during this time in a cold and flu season?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good question. I like that one. So I've got thoughts on both. I'll start with this one, I'll say, and then, Brendan, I'll kick it to you for a little bit. So, well, colloidal silver, I think, can be really powerful. It's a product we keep in our house in a gel form and a spray form and a dropper form. So, and it definitely has its usages. I would consider it almost not like an antibiotic, but a pretty strong, I agree with you, it's an indiscriminate disinfector and like an antibiotic. So I think maybe a long-term use hopefully wouldn't be needed. It's a little bit like you said, treating the symptoms more. So if you have to take colloidal silver for a long time, let's say for immune system, maybe for the gut to knock down bacteria or like for SIBO or overgrowth, things like that, if you have to do that for a very long time, it's the only thing that keeps it at bay, you're probably not addressing enough angles for a person. So temporarily, I think it's great. It's great for cuts and wounds, for sure. Great for, I think, any kind of irritation, definitely. Pink eye, it does a great job with conjunctivitis. Can knock it out really, really quickly with drops. Orally can be good for infections in the mouth, help boost the immune system for sure, help knock down some microbes. But, yeah, I think it's just a single approach. I think it's probably the worst thing a person can be doing to try to stay healthy, but I think it's probably incomplete in the big picture there. So I would agree with you as far as your general advice to your friend there, I would say. So there's and then being healthy, lots of things that come to mind with diet, rest, exercise, and stress reduction, and a few supplements too. But, Brendan, maybe I'll let you talk about colloidal silver. Do you have much experience with silver?
You know, I've actually never used colloidal silver. I, you know, just from day one going through the FDN program, and I got hooked on the biobotanical stuff, you know, because we all went through that same initial training. And so, you know, colloidal silver, I don't remember ever being mentioned in the course, whereas obviously biocidin was. And so I just have always stuck with that. I've never used it, although I have a ton of practitioners that tell me about, you know, their, you know, Argentine 23 nasal spray and whatever. I've heard good and bad, you know, for cold flu season. Yeah, obviously, you know, DRES and stress being the big one. But if we're talking a little bit more like intelligent allopathy and whatnot, that's where, like, I use the biocidin throat spray, like, multiple times every day. Keep Sectory IgA high. I'd like to use immunoglobulins like the Mega IgG a lot, just extra immune support in the gut and provide, you know, healthy gut, healthy immune system, low stress. That's kind of where it's at. But the throat spray and the liposomal biocidin I like a lot, because I'll put the liposomal biocidin through my sinuses using a neti pot. I'll put it in my essential oil diffuser, hit that throat spray. And then the olive Irex is what I'll use if I feel like I'm getting sick. Very, very potent antiviral supplement. You know, and then nutraceuticals. You can't forget your vitamin D and vitamin C and whatnot. But so basically a lot of the basics, but then there's kind of like extra little tricks and whatnot. But I have heard a lot of good things about silver. I just have never used it myself.
Yeah, so you should not use it very long, though, right? Even though you're trying to prevent, I mean, you should not be using it all the time. It sounded like her husband was using it for more than a month or 2 months. Or what is your experience on the, you know, the duration of it?
There's some controversy
or
on that. Oh, the silver,
yeah,
you're talking about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's controversy on that. I think depending on who you talk to, I tend to be shorter term, like maybe a month at a time.
Yes, that's what I told her. Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So, well, great. Thanks for the call, Rainey.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and it was really great saying metabolic mechanic. I really like that. So,
there we go. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do.
You're welcome. Thank you. There's another vote for metabolic mechanic there, Brendan, so I want to jump on the See if that's been taken already, but that's good.
Right.
That's good. So I think everything we do really within FDN is like we talked about many times, and detoxification and the immune system are very much tied together. So everything we're doing, I think, within our dress protocol with FDN is helping strengthen the immune system. Generally, that's part of the process there. So for me, staying well is the three S's for us. It's sugar. For me, refined sugar, avoiding refined sugar, which not a big sweets person, but refined sugar, getting enough sleep, and then watching stress is the biggest thing. So if I can keep those things in check, I do pretty good. Exercise would fall in there too at a regular basis. And then just depends on how far you want to go into things. I mean, if you want to use an infrared sauna or dry brushing on a regular basis, if you want to practice really good hygiene there with like neti pot rinsing, things like that on a regular basis, again, dry brushing to move the lymph. Lots of things you can do to stay well as much as you can, to prevent some things. I've been using Quicksilver's Cat's Claw in the mornings, Cat's Claw Elite. It's got the Cat's Claw with the monolaurins in there, lemon balm extract there. I think a little bit of vitamin D is in that. I've had that on the shelf. I said, I'm just going to start using that in the mornings. And so that's what I'll start the day with some of that, so just sort of supporting my system that way. Definitely the Biocide and throat sprays. Always have a bottle of that on hand. And it's nice to have some herbs, too, around that are more sinus-focused herbs or lung-focused herbs. Seems like a lot of sickness and stuff starts in the sinus area. So if you have an herbal blend you like that's a nice expectorant or something that gets the mucus to be thinned and to flow out, that can be really helpful if you'll address it really quickly early on. So lots of good stuff out there. I think each person has to find out their own body chemistry and find their mix of things that seem to work for them. So we threw out a lot of different things you can do. I don't know if I do all of them, but, our family hasn't taken an antibiotic, and well, I guess my wife and I haven't taken one in probably 25 years, I would say. And then daughter's 14. She's never had an antibiotic either. So that's cool. I think we're doing something right.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Okay, good stuff there. Let's see. Just 2 minutes left in the call, so I don't know if we can get another question in, so we may call it a day on the call. But, I think we will. Looking for any other hands raised, just one last call for a question. We can maybe get it real quickly. If you guys want to jump on, we'll get you. Otherwise, we will say, again, congratulations to Kurt, our graduate here this week. And again, Donna and Rainey, thanks for the calls. They're good questions. And people that wrote in, good stuff too. We'll be back next week. We'll cover some more topics. Again, happy to answer your questions live if you have them, or email them to us, post them on various Facebook pages. We'll pull from those and help you however we can. Let's see. Am I forgetting anything? I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
so.
You guys just. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we'll end just about a minute early here today. And you guys have an awesome weekend. Keep up the good work. Doing good in the world. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.